6 to 54. We want to deal from the subject, from the matter, Jesus saith unto him. Jesus saith unto him. And sometimes I don't think we know or remember who we're talking to when we talk to Jesus. Sometimes in the whole process called life, we forget who Jesus really is. But faith is crucial and essential for the one that would sincerely accept and follow Jesus Christ. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh after God must diligently seek him and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need faith, and as I always say, we have faith. We have faith in our employers that at the end of the week that they will have a paycheck. Or you will see the other side of many of us. The side before we got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But we have faith. When the weatherman said it's going to rain, we get what we need. We have faith, but we need that faith in God. And it's a spiritual kind of faith, because it's stuff that you really can't see in the natural, but you can see in the spiritual realm. And if you can see it in the spiritual realm, then it will manifest itself in the natural realm if you believe. There's a problem with this thing called belief in God, because there is a some kind of time span between when I put my order in and when I got my order filled. There's this time span in between when I requested something from Jesus and when he actually fulfilled it. It's the time in between those two bookends that messes us up. Because sometimes he will bless right away, and sometimes he'll make us wait. Another thing that messes us up is the fact that when he does not move like he thinks we should move, when he does not do it the way we think he should do it, but we will stand up and say, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and then we'll pray for Jesus to specifically do it a certain way. And that's that thing about, you know, believing in God. I believe God is. He showed me a little something. Now, suppose he doesn't really show you what you need to see, but show you himself. That ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. That if Jesus has showed you himself, that ought to be enough. But that faith thing, it plays games with us, because we want to walk by faith, but if it doesn't change right away. Anybody ever been there? I've been praying for years on what is passing. You don't understand. But God said, as long as you have faith and you know what I said to you. What did Jesus say to you? What did Jesus say to you? And is God a man that he should lie? Does God need to play games with us like we play games with each other? Does God need to make any kind of empty promises so he gets some kind of joy out of rattling our chain and shaking our cage? No. But we reduce God to some kind of person or some kind of thing that maybe if he doesn't do it when I want it, then he don't want me to have it. Oh, I'm just talking about myself today. Doubt is what usually prevents a person from asking and seeking and knocking. Doubt is what blocks a person seeking a blessing or an answer, or sometimes even approaching God. Doubt will, and that's what the enemy does. The enemy sows seed of doubt. So you won't even come to church. You won't even open your Bible. You won't even come to the altar. Because I'm so doubtful that God gonna bless me. I ran past all the scriptures that said he loved me. And now I'm doubting whether or not he's going to bless me, because I'm basing it on the fact that he got me waiting on something else that he said he's going to do for me. So therefore, the enemy got in there and said, well, he didn't give you that, so he might not give you this. And that's where doubt comes in. And whoever found out that God doesn't always answer 1, 2, 3. Sometimes the first thing you ask for, he won't answer that. He'll answer 5 and 6 first, and then answer the first thing that you... I learned how not to try to figure God out, just have faith in him. Don't try to figure God out. Just have faith in God. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to, you know, when he going to do it. Just know he said he going to do it. And just be prepared when he moves. And when he moves sometimes he moves in a quick, mighty way. And sometimes it's a process. Because in order to have progress, you got to go through a process. But we need to stay in the process. It's like baking a cake. If you take it out the oven too soon, you got to have baked cake. I need to let somebody know today, you need to stay in the process. I know you don't like what God is taking you through right now, but what did Jesus say to you? Don't get out in the middle of the process. You're going to come out half-baked, and a half-baked cake don't taste good. A half-baked Christian does not look good, does not pray well, does not stand well. You got to learn how to hang in there. We hang in there with everything else and everybody else. You in love with somebody going upside your head and you still hanging. Lord have mercy. But we can't hang in with Jesus. He hadn't hit you once. All he did was die on the cross and got up Resurrection Sunday with all power in his hand. All he did was give us salvation. But I can't trust him. But I can trust somebody I see coming at me trying to abuse me and misuse me. Where's your faith? What did Jesus say to you? And don't let your surroundings fool you. Because Jesus is not controlled by our surroundings. You praying and God said, I'm going to do something for you. And you look around. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Go back to when you were a little kid and you were in school and you came home and you knew some dinner would be on the table. How mom and dad going to do that? You never worried about that. That's why I say you need to come to me like a little child. Have faith. Trust me like a little kid. That know I want to bless and prepare for this. And I'm your daddy. If your heavenly father, if you ask him for some bread and he'll give you bread, what do you think I'm going to do for you? Well, we struggle with that thing called faith, but Jesus saved unto this man. It is interesting. That as we take a closer look at this conversation with Jesus and this government official, nobleman in John 4:46-54. It's deep because this man traveled 20 miles from Capernaum to Galilee to see Jesus about a pressing matter. And when I looked at the little map they gave him, a Bible, when Jesus was in Judea, it was a little further, much further for him to go to see him. But when he heard that Jesus is again in Cana of Galilee, the one that made the water and the wine, there's a certain nobleman, a certain government official whose son was sick at Capernaum, and he took the 20-mile hike to go see Jesus. And they had a conversation when he saw Jesus. Some of us need to have a conversation with Jesus. Not just a conversation with your prayer partner. Not just a conversation with your pastors. Not just a conversation with your friends. But a conversation with Jesus. I come to let somebody know your friends can intercede for you, but God knows your voice. You can go to God for yourself sometimes. He does not mind you showing up. How can you get so busy that you can't even show up for yourself, but everybody else can pray for you, and you can't even show up at the throne for yourself? As we take a closer look at this conversation, look at what's going on. Look at number one, the government official, the nobleman's request. Look at John 4:46-47. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water the wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus, I need you to come down and heal my son. My son is at the point of death. Look what Jesus' initial response was to this person. Look at verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. I said, whoa. Jesus, that is cold-blooded. This man has made a 20-mile trek to let you know that he has a very serious problem. His son is about to die, and he needs to come heal him. And you say to him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.
Now don't forget what verse 46 said, that when Jesus came back to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned water into wine, some folks just hang around because of what you've done, not because of who you are. Some folks just hang around because of what you can, what they can get from you, not for who you are. They don't really like you. They don't even like anything about you. They just hang around because of what they heard that you did or what you gave to somebody else. So Jesus is trying to check this man and say, look, I know you traveled 20 miles. Let me see if you for real, for real. Let me see if you really have any faith in what I can do. And Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Wow. But I like what the nobleman said. This is how he responded to Jesus. Look at verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here before my child die. Come down here before my child. Nobleman said, I ain't trying to hear that today. Oh, I wish somebody was in here. I'm not trying to hear what the enemy is saying in my ear. I'm not trying to hear that nonsense today. He said, Jesus, I need you to come down here before my child die. Look at verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. As though he gives him a faith test. Okay, you didn't respond to if you can only see signs and wonders. Suppose I stay here and not come down to your house. Suppose I stay where I am and just tell you, if you got that much faith, I'm going to tell you that your son's all right. So what we need to understand is if Jesus tells you that it's going to be all right, you need to act like it's all right. Yeah. You need to act like if Jesus says it's all right, it's all right. I don't care if you go home and it looks like the same folk is sitting there with on the same furniture, looking at the same TV show, drinking the same stuff, talking the same crap. Jesus says it's going to be all right. Because there's a time between when I put my order in and when my order's filled. There's a time between when I put my request in and when God fulfills my request. And all that time in between, he's keeping me and he's preparing me and he has not forgotten about me. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. But wait a minute. I asked you, Jesus, to come down to Judea with me to my house to heal my son. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And see, if you really believe God, what God said to you, why are you still at the altar for the same thing? Why are we still losing sleep at night for the same thing? When Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Look what the man did. And the man did what? And the man believed, in verse 50, the word that Jesus has spoken unto him and went his way. That's when you know you got faith. And the man said, you know what? He may not come home with me to heal my son. But what he said to me was enough for me. Jesus, you mean to tell me while I'm at the altar in church, you might speak to me, and when I get to my house, you might not show? Jesus, I ain't got to go to your house. If I told you in your ear, it's all... Look, whatever Jesus saith unto him, go my way. When Jesus saith unto you, he ain't got to show up at your house. This man had the nerve to believe what Jesus said to him. That's why once Jesus speaks to you, you don't have to go get no second opinion. I'm not talking about a doctor's report. I'm talking about what Jesus said. If Jesus said he's going to heal you, you don't need a second opinion. I wish I had. Sometimes seeking the second and third opinions is when we get all messed up. Because there's a time between when I put my order in and when I get my order filled. And that's where the devil's trying to get in there and get busy. And you have to tell the devil, look, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I know what God, because Jesus said unto me, it's going to be all right. I don't know what you're trying to do, but God already told me. Jesus already spoke to me what he was going to do for me. And all I got to do is be still and know that thou art God. I just got to believe God. Anybody believe in God today? And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's when you know you got faith, and you're not standing around anymore. But Jesus, I need you to come to my house. The man said, no, I believe what you said, I'm gone. You ever get your word and say, God, I'm all right, I thank you.
I did not want to come to church today. I didn't feel like getting up. I didn't feel like getting dressed. I didn't feel like going through all that stuff. I didn't feel like no praise and worship. I didn't feel like no Sunday school. I just wanted to get your word, God. And when you spoke to me, it was off.
Somebody, when God speaks to you and you hear him, something falls off.
It's almost like the weight of the world
comes off your shoulders. I need to let somebody, God's still speaking. And you know why you can't hear him? Because you got too much other stuff going on. Too much stuff competing. That's why you need some quiet time with God. Your entire life can't be so busy, but you don't have time to have quiet time with God. This man came to Jesus and said, look, I need you to come home with me. And Jesus said, I ain't going home with you.
I'm going to speak a word right from here,
where I am. If you got enough faith to believe that word, then walk. Look at verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. As he was on his way back. See, when they saw him coming back home without Jesus, they said, we better go cheer him up because Jesus not with him. And when he left, he said he's going to get Jesus to come down and heal his son. But now he's walking alone. Oh, my God. He thinks his son is dead.
Servants came unto him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired, he of them about the hour, when he began to get well, when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.
Lord have mercy. Yesterday at the seventh hour. That must have been a two-day trip then. He said, yesterday at... Can you imagine what you and I would be going through if we had to wait 2 days to get home to see if our son liveth?
Oh, faith will take you on the journey.
If you believe what Jesus said, when you get to it, see, he didn't run home. They didn't say he ran to see if Jesus was telling him the truth. Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth in himself. He believed and his whole house believed. That is so powerful that this man believed what Jesus told him. He believed what Jesus said to him. What did Jesus say to you? Do you believe it? Because there's so much time between when I put my request in and when my orders fill. And this man said, at what time did the fever leave him? The same time Jesus opened his mouth over him. The same time that Jesus told me to go thy way, thy son liveth. He said, at the same hour that the fever left this man's son. And the whole house got saved by the word of God. And we need to understand that Jesus is, in fact, the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. First, Jesus said, you want some signs and wonders, don't you? He said, look, man, I ain't got time. Come on down to my house. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed. Wow. There's somebody here with me today. God has spoken to you. Jesus spoke specifically to you through his word or in your prayer, and you have yet to move. You're still waiting for Jesus to come to your house. He said, go thy way. It's going to be all right. He told you to go thy way. It's going to be all right. And we keep on, somebody keep on bringing up the past. No. If Jesus put his approval on it, if Jesus made a promise to you, you need to go your way because that situation is already taken care of. But Pastor, you don't understand. When I get home, it might not, it's already taken care of. It's a done deal. When you read Revelation, we already won. So you got to put it in that perspective. We already won. We're just going through the game. I told you about that before. They said it was this great tennis match, and this person had missed the match, but they taped it, but he found out on the radio on the way home, he found out who won the match. But when he looked at the tennis match, it didn't look like who he wanted to win was going to win. I need to let somebody know today, you're in a warfare. It does not look like you're going to win. But guess what? You already got the victory. Just keep on. Stay in the game. Stay in the game and believe God for what God has promised you. I don't care what it looks like, I don't care how tight it gets. God will take care of you. You may not know where your next meal is coming from, but if Jesus said it, he will take care of you. You may not know where your next paycheck is coming from, but if Jesus said it, he will take care of you. And I know we got some witnesses in the house of how they want to turn this off and turn that off and take this back. But Jesus said, go thy way. Thy situation will be changed. If you believe what Jesus said to him, then you can you believe what Jesus said? We jump all over the word. But how about when Jesus speaks to us? Your actions should be in response to your faith. What did Jesus say unto you? Did you believe it? And what did you do? What was your reaction to what Jesus said to you? He told you what he was going to do, and you're still walking around, pray for me, looking all sad. And Jesus already said it's going to be all right. Why are we still crying over stuff that Jesus already fixed? We ought to have a spirit of expectation. And see, we're so used to, in America, instant stuff. Everything right now, instant. And we want to make Jesus, we want to make God instant. Do it right now, Lord, for your glory. No, do it right now, Lord, because I can't wait. Stop all that making excuse for your glory, Lord. No, it ain't for his glory. It's because you're impatient. We're impatient for your glory, Lord. No, it ain't for your glory. It's because we can't wait no more. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we need to understand, why do you come to Jesus anyway if you don't believe? That's what he said to the man, except you see signs and wonders. And God says, God, please make the fleece wet. God, please make the fleece dry. Now, he know you might need that sometime, but every time, each victory helps you some other victory to win. Do you really know who Jesus is? Just because things may not work out the way you would like them to or the way we expect them does not stop Jesus from being Jesus. Anybody mad at Jesus today? Dare you raise your hand. Be bold. I'm mad at him. He didn't do what I told him. He didn't do what I... Thank you, my man. He didn't do what I told him. He didn't do what I... I'm mad. It doesn't stop Jesus from being Jesus. Because whatever he says, it will come to pass. Turn to Matthew 16:13 with me. I want us to find out who Jesus is. Matthew 16:13. Sometimes I think we don't know who we're talking to. This man believed. That believed the same word they use for faith. Pistuo. Which means that he believed in God Almighty, that there would be some works following what he believed. And that's what this man believed. He believed that Jesus, he believed that word. That word that you got. That's why sometimes people say it's a rhema word, because a rhema word is a word for you, for your life, for your situation, for your condition. That's why we need to come to church. It's okay to study. It's okay to listen to all those folks on TV. But we need to come to gather in. The Bible says, together with the saints, all the gifts of God can be used so we can God can manifest himself in a most powerful way. But see, we don't know who he is. Look at Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That is very important that you and I define for ourselves who Jesus Christ is to us. We got to know who he is. Amen. And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, this man, when he came to see Jesus, he came to see the Son of the living God. That's powerful to me. I'm not just talking about anybody. I'm talking about the Son of the living God. I'm not talking about my homie down the street. I'm not talking about somebody I grew up with or met recently. I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of the living God. Oh, my God. This man went 20 miles and met with the Son of the living God, whose address is heaven, whose work assignment is earth. He met to meet Jesus, the Son of the living God. I think sometimes we forget who Jesus really is and who we really talking to sometimes. He can handle all our situations. He can handle all our problems. Who is this Jesus? Well, somebody said he's a chief cornerstone. Somebody else said he's the firstborn over all creation. Somebody else said he's the head of the church. Somebody else said he's the Holy One. But this man came down to see the Son of the living God. Not the Son of the dead God, but the Son of the living God. The Messiah. The Anointed One. Oh, we just got back past Christmas. Mary's baby. The one wrapped in swaddling clothes. Emmanuel. The Rose of Sharon.
the lily of the valley, my bright and morning star, my Alpha and, oh my God, the Son of the living God. And the Son of the living God said to the man that had a son that was sick, go thy way.
I know sometimes when your kids get all up in your face and, you know, start talking out of pocket, you'd be like, you don't know who you're talking to. I can see that. That's why I got ready to call this message. You don't know who you're talking to. Because we casually go up to him. We don't really know who we're really talking to. Savior of the world. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the light of the world. He's Prince of Peace. Dig, he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Mother, guess what? He's a doctor in a sick room and a lawyer in a courtroom. Man, I tell you, the grandparents used to say that all the time. He's a lawyer in a courtroom, you know. I said, Lord, have mercy. How much does he cost? I want to win this case. That Jesus paid it all. And see, he went to speak to the Son of the living God. He's the Word of God. He's the Word of life. He is Emmanuel. He's the I Am God. He's the Lord of all. He's the true God. He's the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. He's the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He's the deliverer. He's the high priest. He's the Lamb of God. He's the mediator. He's the rock in a weary land. We're talking about the Son of the living God. Oh, look, I'm going to take my seat, but I got to let you know I'm impressed with him. Nothing confuses him. Nothing makes him tired. Nothing makes him get my request confused with your request. So don't get mad if he blessed me first. Because he's in the neighborhood. The Son of the living God. Jesus, come to my house. Now I'm going to speak a word. The man believed and went on. And on his way, they came to meet him and said, hey, your son is doing all right. For what hour? But yesterday about the seventh. Let me tell you about my best friend. I know they had a joyful walk home. But he began to talk about, well, I spoke to the Son of the living God at the same time yesterday, and he told me to go thy way for thy... All God wanted me to tell you today, you need to believe him. Whatever he promised. And I don't care how long ago the promise was made. Watches and calendars and clocks are made for you and for me. God established time for us, not for himself. So don't try to pigeonhole him on a day, date, and time. Just be glad he spoke to you. Just be glad he spoke a promise to you and be ready to receive it. Glory, hallelujah. See, Jesus saith unto him, what did Jesus saith unto you? I know you're going through a rough time right now. You don't know how you're going to make it. But what did Jesus tell you? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just don't look right on your job. I didn't lay everybody off. But what did Jesus say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Don't try to figure them out. You can get a headache. You can get a headache trying to figure out how God going to bless you. But just let him bless you. Because he loves us that much. He's the Savior of the world. And see, that's why everybody look at me like that. They're like, so what? He's the Son of the living God. That's how we deplayed him. That's how we have devalued him. When you begin to look at the Messiah as who he really is, and that he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me, that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that he really does care about us, that when we weren't fit to live, weren't ready to die, that he died on the cross, gave up his life, and got up on Resurrection Sunday with our new life in his hands. When we begin to put him in the proper perspective, when we begin to put him preeminent, when we begin to put him priority, when we begin to put him back where he belongs on the top of the list of our lives, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. You want health and you want life and you want money and you want a good time and you want the house and you want the car. Well, stop putting the cart before the horse. That's a sight. When you put the cart before the horse going one way and the cart going another way and you in the middle. That's a mess. But God is saying, what did I tell you? Don't you tell your kids that sometimes when they keep doing the same thing over and over? What did I say to you? I think God gets us like that sometimes. What the last time, the last 15 times you came to the altar and told me that, what did I say to you the last time? I told you I was going to take care of it. Now, won't you act like it's taken care of? When you go see somebody about something, they say, I'll take care of it, and you trust them, you walk away like, okay, it's done. God is saying, when you come to my altar and you talk to me and I speak back to you, okay, it's done. We have to have a spirit of expectation. We ready to move into 2014, moving forward, pressing toward the mark. So you might as well get ready. Whatever God promised you, you ought to make some room in your house when you go home. Because God about ready to send some stuff to somebody up in here. And I hope you have room enough to receive it. Because you've been waiting long enough. Anybody tired of crying? Anybody tired of worrying? Well, you're in the right place because God said, guess what? It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. And you got to have faith. You got to believe that thing. You got to believe it because sometimes in between when I put my order in and when my order is filled, all this crazy stuff begin to happen. It's like, wow. But God said, don't forget the promise. Don't forget what I said to you. Go thy way, thy son liveth. This man grabbed that word and went on about his business. God has said something to a lot of folk in here. Hold on to it. Don't lose it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Doth not yet appear what it shall be. Hold on to it. Grasp it. After the benediction, don't lose it. Hold on to it. No, don't grab it again next Sunday and come run the air. I still got it. No, keep it Monday. Keep it Tuesday. It's yours. It's your promise. And don't be messed up by the fact that every time you think about what God promised you, something crazy jumps off. Because the enemy does not want you to believe that God gonna bless you. You ever ask somebody, you say, God, I want you to bless my son, to bless my daughter, and they act crazier? Well, that's because in the Word of God, every time Jesus showed up to heal somebody or deliver somebody from something, they went off. They knew it was their last hurrah. Read the Word. Every time you got ready to deliver somebody from something, boy, they tore it up. They tore the place that my last day is for. I'ma do this thing. Oh, they got to show off. And then after Jesus showed up, he said, we recognize you, man. What you doing here? He said, I'm here because my daughter, my son called my name. And they said, you've been tormenting them and you've been messing with them. And I come to let you know, I come to deliver them from this torment. I come to deliver them from this fear. I come to deliver them from this disease. I come to deliver them from all this aggravation that you've been causing in their lives. You are done. My God. Take the gloves off, y'all. It ain't your fight. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord. Now, somebody in here, you're about ready to give up today. You don't have to raise your hand. I already know the Spirit of God told me. You are ready to give up. You're ready to say, this church thing ain't working. Jesus is hard of hearing. He's not looking in my direction. There's nothing working out for me. And God said, what did I promise you? If you can hold on to me in the storm, you're going to dance in the sunshine. The sun is going to shine. Anybody been going through a whole lot this Christmas season and probably full of joy? Well, guess what? Joy can come after Christmas. You go around, I ain't getting nothing for Christmas. I ain't had no joy. I was somewhere sick and mad. I ain't had no money. Nobody gave me nothing. Boy, you better get up out of here. That's devil talk. But in the name of Jesus, I got my joy. The devil can't steal my joy. I'm going to close this message out, but I need to let you know, somebody to grab what God promised you. And stop looking like he didn't promise you anything. Walk around all sad, eyes crying.
What you crying for?
Oh, no. What you crying for? Life. Life what? Life sucks. Thank you. But guess what? Hold on. Because it's getting ready to turn around for you. You get ready to walk into a new season. You know how you go to a new place? Don't you get dressed up? Go home, get dressed up. Put your best makeup on. My brother, get your haircut, get your best suit. You ready to walk to a new season. And when you walk to a new season, you don't go with all that old stuff. Hallelujah. You may walk, wash your face, get up and praise God. You're about ready to walk into a new season. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus, how come you ain't go to that man's house? He said, because I am the Word, and when I spoke that word traveled down to Judea, and my word went in the house, and my word healed that man's son. I ain't got to be physically there. I am spirit. And whatever I speak, and wherever I send it, it's going to accomplish what I sent it to do. Y'all better get ready. I guarantee you by next Sunday, somebody going to be coming in by New Year's Eve. Somebody going to come here like, Pastor, I'm not on the program, but I need to be on the program. I got to tell y'all what the Lord did for me. Let us all stand. Jesus saith unto him, the Son of the living God had conversation with a nobleman. My Bible told me that the nobleman was actually over Jesus officially in the flesh. But this was a spiritual thing. Don't let what has manifested itself in the natural mess you up spiritually.